Welcome to Aspire and your beautiful Saturday morning, October the 8th, 2011, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me, Gregory Penn, on my little Aspire radio program here on KRXA. I'm heard every Saturday and Sunday at 9:04, and I'm glad you are here. And if you'd like a little information while you hear me ramble on here about what's going on in the world, in our life, I should really say, our inner life, a place that most people don't go, please come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. You'll find it very easy to navigate around there and take a look at all the little offerings I have for you. If you're the type of person that likes to, look at podcasts and videocasts and read commentaries I've written in the past and even listen to past and future radio programs, you can do that on the website if this appeals to you. And if not, move along. Okay, I've got some wonderful questions here from all over the place. Los Angeles, New York, believe it or not, New York. What are they doing listening to me? And one in San Francisco. Let's go to Lois in San Francisco. You say love is everything, and I do say that all the time. She says, so if it is, why doesn't it come naturally? It seems to me that hate is more prevalent. Lois, you couldn't be more correct about hate being more prevalent. People don't even recognize hate. Buddha said, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. And Buddha was right. But it isn't about the world. You and I will never dispel the hate in the world until we dispel the love that we love to hate with. Aha! Yes, people love hate. They love to be hateful, especially about what they think they're righteous about, that they think they know what is good and bad and right and wrong. They think they really know. So because they know so much and they really believe in the fact that they know, they make a great deal of difficulty in life. So listen to me, Lois. You ask me, you say, love is everything. Yes, I do. This whole life is not about survival. It's not about who is quote unquote successful, who is doing well and who is not doing well. The whole thing is about one thing, love. Do I come to the place where I am available for love? Do I come to the place where love can reach me? Can I love? Can I let love live me? Can I? Can I be so kind, so compassionate? People think, oh, if you do that, then people will run all over you. They'll say terrible things about you, or you'll get beat up, or you'll get chewed up by this culture and society and then thrown away. That's the way people think. They think that love is weak. They think love is frivolous. They think that love is something that is only given to certain people or when you're in love with another person. And this is not true. This is a very small mind. I always say, let love live you, and then people get very confused. Now, if I say, let hate live you, you get it just like that. I mean, it is no problem. Hate, I know. Let hate live me, no problem. There are a lot of things in this world I hate. There are a lot of things in this world I dislike. So then I start talking about what I dislike and how it should be fixed. That is a form of my hate. It doesn't do any good. In all the years, let's be honest, in all the years you've dabbled in politics and stuff, how many things have really changed for the way that would help people? Things are getting deeper and deeper and deeper in poo-poo, caca, wee-wee. Let's face it. And all the talking about it and being self-righteous about it isn't changing a thing. And no matter who you catch in the cookie jar, fingers in the cookie jar, it doesn't matter. The only thing that really matters is yourself, your relationship to love. Then you can do a great deal of good without ever knowing it, as the Holy Shadow talks about in my year-end DVD, which is a truly beautiful little offering to your life. You say to me, if love is everything, why doesn't it come naturally? Because we are in survival mode. I'm reminded of a wonderful story. A man came to the Buddha, Lois, and he said, you say anyone can awaken. You say anyone can come to love. Then why has it not happened? There are so many people and so few, if any, have come to love. Buddha said, you go into the village. It was a small village. And he says, you go in and you ask everyone what it is that they are most interested in. Take name by name and go and come back and meet me tomorrow night. Well, the man did. He went to every single villager and he asked them, what is it that is most important to you? What is your life all about? Do you seek? He came back and Buddha said, well, and the man bowed and he said, not one was interested in awakening. And this is the way it is. If I offered you door number one, which is to have everything in this world that you ever wanted, or door number two, the door to mystery, to love, the unknown, which door do you take? Most people, if we are honest, take door number one. I've heard all the jokes about it during the course of my career. You have to understand, Lois, for a lot of people here, and we're going to get into this in Karma next year, but here's a little shtick. For a lot of people who inhabit this planet, it is not about love. They are not searching for it directly. They search for it indirectly, through their mind and their emotions. And if I search for love through mind and emotion, I will miss. I will miss everything that is meaningful. Mind and emotion cannot bring me to love. Mind and emotion cannot show me the essence of love. Mind and emotion are not a bridge to life at all. They are a barrier. You have to be meditative. You have to be kind. You have to put loving kindness ahead of everything. And people are not going to do that. You know that. I know that. No one is going to do that. Loving kindness is not something that is of interest to people. There's no payoff in it. And everyone has to have some sort of payoff. So we are not interested in love, but hate, there is a payoff, a gratification for assuming and being amused in your self-righteousness. This is why love is not everything to people. Who needs it? When you're busy getting gratified in every possible conceivable way, why search for love? Love means nothing. Love or a football game? Love or a cocktail? Love or a dinner? Let me take it further. Love or some kind of gratification with your family? Love or food? Love or sex? Love or whatever? Love stands no chance in all of that. Your attentions will go to avoid pain, sorrow, suffering. It won't go towards meaning. People are content for a long time, many, many lifetimes, with the kind of love that, well, is not intrinsic. It is humanistic. It is about emotion and passion. It is not about kindness. So people are very interested in that. And you can go many, many lifetimes in it, Lois. Many, many lifetimes. Not to worry, it eventually becomes a certain kind of karma that helps us eventually, but it's very painful. So, Lois, Hate never yet dispelled hate, as Buddha said. Only love dispels hate. And that's all I can really say to you. Love dispels hate. And if you were willing to understand the nature of that, much will happen. Lois, I want to thank you for your kind email and your question. And I hope you do enjoy the year-end DVD that you requested. And I hope it serves you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. Yeah, I have a wonderful year-end DVD. And if you are not on my mailing list and would like a copy, I would be honored to send it to you. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you can go there and just click on the image that will go by in a banner about year-end DVD. It's a wonderful Sufi story. I've done this for many years, trying to find little spiritual stories that mean a lot to people. And then we made a little cartoon out of it. It's really kind of nice, and I hope it serves you well, and I hope you order it. It's absolutely free, by the way. Okay, the next one goes to Fred, and he lives in New York City. Wow. You might wonder how he listens to me. Believe it or not, he was here on vacation, he said, and he was going through the dial and listened. So you never know who's listening to your radio program. Fred says, I do everything with a hook. I can't help it. Everything I do for me to get some result. Is this morally wrong, Fred? Fred, I am not a moralist. I don't do morality. I really don't. My whole effort in my life and in what I teach is one thing. Whatever I do matters. And can I take it with me through death? Now, if you can take with you through death anything, then it is meaningful. Everything else is superfluous to the point of living. Living is about a certain kind of awakening, a beauty. Living is about springing forth from the heart, not the head. Living is about compassion. And the more compassion you have, the more loving kindness lives within you, the deeper will be your profound experience of life. And that is very, very important. But I cannot give that to you. You have to cultivate it for yourself. You say, everything I do has a hook. Yes, you are like many people. Many people I know do everything they do just to get something they believe they want or they think they should have. And that's it. It's all about getting what I want. And people do not think of that as being anything, well, contrary to life. Now, there are certain ebbs and flows that move with life, and there are certain ebb and flows that move away from life. Life has a certain throb, a certain kind of giddy up. It's a very happy, loving thing. But to get there, you're going to have to recognize things, Fred, in consciousness, not in conscience. People who are highly moral only have conscience. They feel bad so they can feel good. They do very good things so they won't feel bad about themselves. That's your hook. So you do everything to get something you want. Everything you do, whether you give or not give, or whether you're kind or not kind, is all done in order just to have what you want, get what you want. This is not a matter of moral. This is just against the nature of life. Now you are moving against life. Now you are moving against your heart. Now you are doing things that are making more and more difficulty for yourself, because life is accumulative. We accumulate many things as we go through our life. Some of those things are very painful and ugly. And some of those things can be very beautiful and magnificent. They are the things, the beauty, that you cannot touch with your fingers. You cannot think with your mind. It is about a certain consciousness. You say, I do everything I do to get a result. Most people are like that. Everything is about gaining a result. Why do anything unless it's going to benefit you is the question that most people ask. And they don't even think of that as being selfish or unkind. It just is what it is. Why do anything unless it's going to benefit you? You ask me, is it morally wrong? Life is not moral, it's immoral. It's amoral. It doesn't have moral or immoral, it's just amoral. There is something about this existence that supersedes our need to distinguish it with right and wrong, good and bad. We really miss the whole point. People in general are not interested in love at all. In fact, the people in general are just angry and mean. They don't see anything in life worth living, except for anything that they can get that they think will benefit them in some way. Like you. But don't you see, life is an inner job. We spend many years and a great deal of suffering in our world because we refuse to see that life is an inner job. Life is an inner work. Life is about the inner. And going inwards and into the inner is a very, very powerful thing. It requires a focus, attention, compassion, and love. Love that is more than just me saying emotionally to you, I love you. It is a love that exceeds emotion. It is a love that represents that which is. The existence of life itself. Some people call it God. Fred, I'm not here to tell you what is moral and immoral. I can only tell you that through my basic experience in life, everything is amoral. And I can tell you also that for every action, there is an equal reaction somewhere within my life. I can tell you that for everything we do, there is something that matters in it. I can tell you that we can squander many lifetimes and never do very much with a life because we are more interested in getting what we want and feeling comfortable in our pain, in our sorrow, by trying to either avoid it or even immerse ourselves in it. And that's all I can tell you. Next year in 2012, I will be doing karma. This will be one of the most profound years we will ever have. It will be a great big turning point, and it is going to change many things in our life for my students and me. So, my dear man, give up the moral thing and live for those things that you can take with you through death. They're the only things that matter. Live for that which you can take with you through death. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Sammy. Is it important to know where we go after we die? I've always wondered. So many people tell me it is. What do you think happens? I get this question a lot. What do I think happens? It's really not important what I think. But your question is important. Is it important to know where we go after we die? This question doesn't mean much when you're young. But as you go on and you start accumulating more and more, it becomes more and more, well, important. Because in the question is the idea of enjoying yourself and avoiding pain. Sammy. It is more important how you live in this moment than being concerned about your death. Death will come. It will come soon enough. And it comes very rapidly. And it has significance in itself. I have had students die. I've had students with children that have died. Believe me, it is a page-turner. But in the end, I find, surprisingly enough, Sammy, that most people just revert back to the way they were. The death of anything, a child, a friend, a father, a mother, doesn't really change a person. It merely gives them an emotional gratification of drama that the human heart just thrives on. And when you start looking at it from that point of view, it becomes very significant and deeply sad about how we live, the way we live, and even why we live the way we live. Listen, Sammy, I am not going to tell you where you go. It's stupid. No one knows. Not for sure. It isn't like I can say you're going to go here, you're going to go there. Can't go there. But I can tell you this. Now listen to me. Sammy, live life moment to moment in significance. Be significant in your own life. Let love live you. And let this life be significant every moment. Don't look at the circumstance itself and ask yourself, does this benefit me or not? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Don't go there. Look around the significance of every moment by looking into each moment for what it is. Every moment is an opportunity for love. Every moment is a blessing for love. Every moment is a chance to self-realize as love. Don't let anything take you away from that. Move into love with all of your heart and soul. And don't look at love and life and living as though it were just one moment after another and insignificant. Everything in life is significant. How you touch your food. How you talk to your enemy and your friend. How you walk upon this planet. How you live. How you breathe. How much you notice about living and breathing. All of these things are deeply significant, so don't be fooled by the manner of appearances. Look at life from the point of view of love. And then everything can change. It can move into meaning and significance. I always say to you that every moment matters, and it springs forth to the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. So work upon yourself. Meditate, love, give, forgive. Very important. Let yourself move back into the flow of your life. If you move back into the flow of your life, life will move back into the flow of you and change the way you live. And that is a very significant moment. Please forgive me, Sammy. And thank you for listening. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be able to help you with, or just something you want to air here on the radio, I can use your name or not, whatever you like. Please come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. Go take a look on the first page there. You will see contact in the upper right-hand corner. Click on it and go for it. This radio program is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. It is through your tax-deductible donations that I'm able to pay for airtime here on KRXA. And we need sponsors. We need people who will step up and help us either on a quarterly or a monthly basis. And we don't need a lot of money. We just need enough to pay for the airtime. So here's how it works. We have something called the sponsorship. And if you go to the website at aspire.org and you go there to the main page, you will see Support Aspire. And if you pull down the little table of contents there, you will see sponsorship, donations, testimonials from people who have watched and listened to my radio and my TV program, now seen on YouTube. And you will see in appreciation some of the things that people have done and enjoyed about this program. You never know where it will go. It's on the internet. It's on radio here live here on KRXA. And, of course, it's there for all eternity on the internet. So, like it or not, it is serving people, but your tax-deductible gifts are the only way it can maintain itself. If you become a sponsor, you can do it quarterly, as low as $200 a year. That's $50 a quarter. That truly helps. Or you can do a monthly donation, as low as $25 and up. And your tax-deductible gifts will be used to purchase more airtime of our radio program. And if you want to know a little bit more about all of that even, if you go to the website and look at sponsorship, there's a little video there that will help you understand everything we do, everything I do, and there's no staff here, so you're not supporting a staff. Your donation goes directly to airtime, right to KRXA and helping us keep it on the internet and on YouTube. Your gifts mean so much, and I hope you will become a sponsor. Well, that's the end of this program. We're out of here. I will be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04 here on KRXA, and I hope you will join me. I really enjoy offering you these programs, but again, remember, we need your sponsorship. It isn't for free. They charge me money to be on the air, and I bet you're wondering, you know, like, well, they should charge him more and get him off the air. But for those of you who enjoy the program, you need to help us. We really need it. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a beautiful Saturday morning in this beautiful October. Be grateful for your life. Much is happening, seen and unseen. Please forgive me. Namaste.